Hello little devils.
Welcome back to I'm the Devil Pod.
I'm Sophie Wilson Pelton.
I'm Hannah Wakefield.
This is a Vanderpump Rules Rewatch Podcast.
Yay!
Yeah!
You love it here. Welcome.
If you guys want to, guess what? We have a Patreon that you can sign up for.
Oh my god, yeah.
We do like chit chat episodes and we talk about pop culture. We've been talking a lot about like The Summer I Turned Pretty and stuff like that.
Yes, we love that show.
What else did we talk about? I watched all of fucking Danielle's TikTok videos about Sheena Shea's wedding. I gave Hannah the lowdown.
Yeah, for real. I'm about to watch that documentary about that woman who cyberbullied her daughter. So.
Dude, can we watch that together?
Yeah, for sure. I really want
to
watch it.
I really want to watch that. I was just thinking about it.
I was just hearing about it at breakfast and I was like, I need to watch that.
Me too.
So we really kind of talk about that kind of stuff. And we talk a lot about personal details as well.
And how else can people support us, Hannah?
They can follow us on Instagram and TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
Those are two big ways.
At I'm the Devil Pod.
They can follow us on Spotify. They can review on Spotify and on Apple Podcasts as well. Yes.
There's a litany of ways.
I think that's just about it. And it's not that hard. All you got to do is press a button.
Yeah. Okay. You can Venmo us personally.
Oh, yeah. You could do that.
If you want to.
My Venmo is Hannah Wakefield 69. Not kidding.
My handle is the same as all of my social media handles, so it's easy to find. Please send me money. Hannah, what sexy, unique thing happened to you this week?
Let's see. What has happened to me this week? What day is today? Thursday?
No, honey, it's Friday.
Oh my god, it's Friday.
TGI fucking F.
TGI Friday.
TGIF.
Well, I saw you yesterday. So not a ton has happened since then.
TFIGFF. Thank fucking god.
Thank fucking God it's fucking Friday, for real. But I'll tell you this. Last night, I was thinking about the conversation we had yesterday about our phone addiction.
Of course.
Something else we talk about the Patreon all the
time. We're trying to tackle our phone addictions.
Tackling our phone addictions. And I was like, today's the day. It's the first day of the rest of my life.
Literally.
I plugged my phone in. I did all my skincare. I brushed my hair. I put it in a braid. That's how I get ready for bed. I got into bed. I read my disgusting and perverted book.
Yes.
Until I fell asleep. And that took a whole hour. And then I woke up this morning at 7 a.m. to the sounds of my beautiful Hatch alarm clock.
Yeah.
Playing the rain.
And the thing about the Hatch that's actually nice.
No, playing the flute. Sorry.
Literally plugging my own fucking device to the people I work for. But for real, you can just like put your phone wherever.
I put my phone wherever.
Yeah. Do not have to be near you, my love.
And when I was reading, I was listening to the sounds of a rushing river.
Oh, I love putting on the rain sounds, literally.
Yeah, and then I woke up to the sounds of a beautiful flute player.
Give me.
Didn't go on my phone for an hour. Wrote in my journal about a dream that I had where I was on vacation with a bunch of my cousins, and one of my cousins said that my other cousin said about me and him that we had a vibe.
Oh. Dear God. I've been having a lot really of sex dreams, if I'm being honest.
We did not have sex in it.
I would never insinuate such a thing. I'm just letting you know.
And let me tell you quickly, the second half of the dream was that we were all on vacation together at a resort. The cousin who said that I had a vibe with him was the actor who plays Jeremiah in The Summer I Turned Pretty. And then...
Wait, sorry. Was that the cousin you had a quote-unquote vibe with? Or was that the cousin who was saying that you had a vibe?
That was the cousin I had a vibe with.
Damn it.
Well, he had a vibe with me. I wasn't feeling it back.
Of course.
And then we went outside. We left the resort where we were on vacation. Went out to his car. He wanted to shoot a music video. He said, Hannah, you have to twerk for it. I said, oh my God, stop. We don't have a vibe. But then all my other cousins were like... And I was like, guys, we don't have a vibe. That's my cousin.
And so are the rest of you lot.
Yeah. So that was like pissing me off. And
of course.
It's just because I'm reading this like really perverse book.
Yeah.
Like really sexually perverse book that kind of infiltrated my dreams immediately. But then this morning I woke up and I didn't go on my phone for an hour and I wrote in my journal and I read my old journal entries. And I was like, number one, I'm an amazing writer. I'm making myself laugh out loud. Number two, I forgot about this instance where I did yell at this guy in his car, and to revisit that was really special.
Wait.
The journal entry is like, he drove me from Bed-Stuy to Sunset Park, the perfect amount of time to yell at a man in the car. And then, yeah, I did some work and then I went to breakfast and now I'm here.
Amazing.
Sophia, what sexy, unique thing happened to you this week?
I think also tackling my phone addiction one day at a time.
The artist way.
Brick by fucking brick. I'm doing the artist way.
You're buying the brick.
I'm literally going to buy that damn brick. Well, I'm doing the artist way, which is certainly sexy. It's somewhat unique. I'm on day 5.
Yeah.
Count it, motherfuckers. And it's nice. It's just I wake up and I do my journaling. And I, as Hannah said, I don't look at my phone. And it does feel amazing to not look at your phone.
Yeah, it does. It feels really good. It
feels so fucking good. Like, feels so fucking bad to look at your phone.
Mm-hmm.
Period. But mm-hmm. It feels especially bad as a way to start your day. I would love to find ways to integrate more of not looking at my phone throughout the day after the first hour or two.
Yeah.
So I am considering buying the brick, which is that manual thing that is like a physical object that you have to walk up and tap your phone on to lock and unlock apps. And I'm like, that's amazing because you can fucking tap that shit and then leave your apartment and there's actually nothing you can do about it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so it's like $60, which feels to me to be worth it.
Sure.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Because obviously I've tried those fucking apps and like it is like helpful, but it's not like...
Well, you can just turn them right off is the thing.
Yeah, so...
That's like, I used to have an app to try and stop me from drunk texting, but it turns out when I'm drunk, I'm not a fucking idiot.
No.
So I know how to turn that app off.
Of course.
Duh. All it did was scramble my keyboard and I'd be like, well, undo.
Yeah, but basically the artist way has been my sexy and unique thing, I think. What else? I went on a run today, which was nice.
Nice.
And felt good. And yeah. Should we just start?
I think we should just start, probably.
Sorry, I'm in like a post-run haze, so my brain is like...
Oh, you went on your run this morning.
I went on it like an hour ago.
Brilliante. So today we will be covering season 3, episode 17 of Vanderpump Rules, Jack's Cracks. I know, it's not. That's not the intonation. It's Jack's Cracks.
No, but Jack's Cracks.
Jack's Cracks.
It's Jack's Cracks. It's his line of crackers. It's so stupid. Also, like his fucking butt crack or whatever.
You know, Jack's Cracks.
Jack's Crack.
Jax's Cracks.
Jax's Cracks. Jax's Praxis. Praxis.
Jax's Praxis. Jax's Praxis.
Jax's Praxis.
Oh my God, he should come out with something like that.
He has no idea what the fuck Praxis is.
No, he didn't know what the word diplomacy meant in this episode.
You know how many years were...
Well, days were in a year.
Years were in a day.
He was close, though.
He was close. That's so true. Hey, he was really close.
So. It's off by one. Okay, so we're going to start out this episode at Sir Sexy Unique Restaurant. Everybody's pretty hard at work. Tom and Ariola are bartending. And Jax is kind of wandering about the space.
Yeah.
He approaches Tom and Ariana at the bar because they want to do some catch up about the wedding. A lot of this episode is people catching up about the wedding.
This episode is mostly people catching up about the wedding and shitting on Kristen.
Yeah. Which are kind of like people
dogging on Kristen so hard.
Kristen catches a lot of fucking...
They're not strays. Because
I know. I was just going to say bullets. She's getting fired at all episode.
Hey, fascist, catch this.
If you're reading this, you're gay. LMAO. Okay. So Jax walks up to them and they all kind of immediately start shitting on Kristen.
Literally.
And this is when Jax is like, Sheena asked for one day out of the 364 days in a year that there's no drama. So yeah, he's off by one. He thinks there's 364 days in a year. But that honestly is like pretty closer than I thought he would have ever gotten to knowing a true fact.
Yeah, he acts though like he told her not to make a scene.
Yeah,
I mean, and well, he acts like one, he told her to not make a scene, which he didn't. And two, that she made a scene, which she didn't.
They're all acting like she made a scene. This whole episode, they'll be acting like she made a scene as if she didn't get in a fight in the parking lot that everybody else had to be told about by James.
Of course.
Katie and Christina catching up on the drama, and Katie says that the wedding was actually really nice. And Christina Kelly is like, I do not want to hear about that bullshit part of it. I don't care if it was nice at all. I want to hear about the drama.
Mm-hmm.
So then Katie is like, well, Kristen did punch James in the face, basically. And
yeah, when it comes down to it.
Also,
multiple people told us that apparently he pushed her into the bushes and they cut that part and that's why she pushed him or punched him.
Yeah, which to me totally adds up. I believe he would have done that.
Especially because to me what makes sense is that he is acting extremely apologetic about it.
In
a way where I'm like, I don't think he would do that unless he did something to her.
I think so as well.
But yeah, so that's just like context that people said.
Yeah, he's like tail between his legs this whole episode, which wouldn't really make sense if he had just been the one who got punched.
I know, I agree. But it's so not in his nature.
No, not even a little bit. Yeah, he's like quote, sort of, well, we'll get to it, whatever. Katie is filling Christina Kelly in on that fight. And then she's also like, and like me and Tom and Christine and Kelly's like, oh my God, did you guys fight too? And she's like, no, we didn't fight. He just got me this dumbass present, basically, and it made me cry. And then Christina Kelly is like, I mean, it's clear, like, you're ready for marriage and he's not. So I don't.
Literally.
Like, which is what everybody is going to continue to be saying to her the whole time. Being like, I get you love him. He doesn't want to get married to you.
Yes. And she keeps saying, like, Katie also just keeps saying, like, I'm not going to tolerate being given a ring on a string. It's like, girl, you are. You're wearing it. You put it on the second he gave it to you and you're wearing it on your hand right now.
You took it off the necklace and you're wearing it on your hand. Yeah, she's like, I've told Tom in the past that I never want to receive a ring as a present unless it's an engagement ring. And it's like, so why did you accept the gift at all then?
I know, like, literally bare minimum, just don't wear it.
Yeah, you don't have to put it on. Why would you put it on? Okay. We then learn that Sheena and Shay are on vacation in Maui, so they're not there. And they're having, like, the time of their life, I suppose, which is true, I think, because Sheena said in her book that they had an amazing time in Maui.
Yeah.
James is sitting at a table and folding up napkins, doing his side work, when Lisa approaches him and is like, what's your problem? Like, why do you look so scared? Like, why do you have that look upon your face? Because he is kind of sitting there, like, looking around.
Well, he always looks, like, horrified.
I know, but he's also nervous because I don't know. Okay, so this was interesting because Lisa walks up to him and she's like, how did you enjoy the wedding? And he was like, I wish I had enjoyed it more, but I really got into it with Kristen. He says he drank because he was getting depressed about him and Kristen. Then he blacked out and then they got into it and she punched him. And normally in this situation, if this happened in this day and age, mm-hmm. Lisa would be like, my baby boy, what has she done to you? That evil witch, she's mm-hmm. ruining your life. Here, she says that he has a reason to be insecure in his relationship because of how she treats him and how she acts with Tom. But he doesn't have a reason to get drunk and aggressive and violent.
Yeah.
So it's like, does everybody know that he pushed her first, do you think? Because Lisa never calls him out, ever, ever. This is like the first and feels like literally last time.
I don't know, maybe. Well, no, definitely not everyone knows because like the other people are literally being like, well, how fucking dare Kristen?
When
okay, even if he didn't push her, like, even if he didn't push her, the story that she's telling, which is true, is that he was
cornered her
and was scaring her, got aggressive in her face. Yes. So it's like, okay, I'm sorry. It is just like, that seemed like he wouldn't move away from her.
No, he wouldn't. He was following her around.
So yeah, she gave him a fucking swift fucking hit to the face.
Quick knuckle sandwich.
Maybe Lisa does. I don't know. But I don't think other people do because they're not acting.
Yeah. I feel like Lisa might.
Yeah.
Because she says to him that he can't get violent.
I don't know. But she also is like blaming Kristen. Like when she hears about the fight, she's like, why doesn't that surprise me? And it really is like,
I know.
They're both. James is more evil than Kristen, obviously.
James causes way bigger scenes at events than Kristen does.
Of course.
Much more violent scenes. I don't know. Yeah. Well, Lisa is like, I don't know why people keep inviting her to stuff. She needs to stop being invited to stuff. And then Lisa says that she doesn't like to meddle in their business, but he sees a really she is like observing an extremely tumultuous relationship between them.
I mean, they're literally doing physical violence towards each other.
Yeah. I mean, they're in an abusive relationship. And then she's like, are you happy with her? And he says, with her? Yeah, every day. And it was it seemed like sort of earnest. I don't know. His tone seemed earnest. So I was confused.
It did. I think he was being.
I think he's being truthful. Truthful,
I guess.
I just don't understand in what capacity their relationship is happy at all. But I guess it's because they only ever show us scenes where she's talking about Tom.
Well, I guess they probably do have fun when they get like really drunk together and stuff.
Yeah, when they do shots and fuck.
And maybe they I don't know. They probably make like really gross jokes together and like.
I'm sure they're.
Well, I actually can't even imagine. Like, I can believe that they have fun together. I can't imagine what it looks like. But
I know,
I'm sure it happens.
It's like really hard for me to imagine them laughing together, but then it's hard for me to imagine them having like a romantic moment together. So it's like, I don't quite know what their relationship looks like at all, but I know that some part of it exists that we're not seeing.
Yes. Many parts of it exist that we're not seeing, unfortunately. Also in the talking head, James is like, I'm just a 22-year-old kid who's in love with this older woman who's still like obsessed with her ex. And I'm like, stop acting like you. I'm sorry, but the narrative of like, I'm just a 22-year-old kid. It's like, you're fucking crazy.
You're crazy. You're
not crazy. Just a 22-year-old kid. You're a fucking walking nightmare.
Because also when you're 22 and you're acting up, most of the time you're like, it's so insane to like be in it. I feel like when I was 22 and I was like acting out of my mind, I wasn't all of the time like, I'm 22. Like I'm so young and and crazy. I was like, being an adult is hard.
I know, literally.
And now I'm like 27 and it's like, okay, I was like a baby back then, obviously. Literally. But now he's like, I'm just a little baby and I have this cougar girlfriend. And it's like, no, you're out of your mind pushing women into bushes.
I know. It's just like, that is not the proper narrative to be using when you are literally like screaming in her face, won't get away from her.
Yeah, exactly that.
And then, sorry, the other thing that I wrote down is that Lisa tells him that he's much softer and more sincere without Kristen.
No, yeah, I know. It's like
he's just pure evil.
Well, he's also just kissing your ass, Lisa.
I know.
It's not that he's softer and more sincere. He's actually probably much, much faker around you. He's being, I think, his real self around Kristen. he's very true to himself when they're together.
He is living his truth. Then Stassi and Peter go out to eat.
Well, she has literally not a single friend left in the restaurant to hear about the wedding.
I know. They go out and get wraps, which made me laugh.
And she orders for him. They get wraps at Fat Sal's.
I did think she was looking really pretty this whole episode,
though. Me too. I was thinking that as well.
Yeah.
Especially when Christina Kelly had her fugly ass top knot and Stassi had a beautiful blowout.
Yeah. In the talking head, she's like, I've always been friends with Peter. And he gives me amazing gossip. It's like, okay, no one gives a fucking shit.
I don't care. Dated him.
Yes, he tells her that she should have gone to the wedding and she says that that would have been inappropriate, which I agree with. Inappropriate.
She wasn't invited.
She literally wasn't invited. And then he tells her about how Kristen, quote unquote, caused a scene at the reception.
Yeah, he said that Kristen caused a scene at the reception and then got into a fight with
Is there
James.
Something that we didn't see?
Like, she didn't. No, I think Peter is just like, Peter was so eager to gossip.
Yeah.
And he like is fucking rock hard for Stassi always and forever.
Yeah.
I think he just wanted to give her something juicy and he kind of stretched the truth.
She's just like, so not what happened, but whatever.
I know.
He says, people are dogging on Kristen so fucking bad this episode. Ever since she invited that girl from Miami, everything's gone downhill for her. Like, everything's just gone round and round and round down the toilet. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, and it's true. Like,
it is true, but it's like, come on. She's obviously in the midst of a serious mental conundrum.
She is literally like having a, like,
she's in a crisis.
She's been having a crisis this whole fucking season.
And nobody wants to help her.
Literally, it is like, no one will help her. I mean, her life is going round and round down the toilet.
Well, they want to do exactly what Stassi says next, which is, I feel like Kristen's a car crash in slow motion, and I'm so curious to watch it. It's like, you're just going to sit back and watch her car crash her life?
Yes.
She was your best friend.
I know. So then we're with Kristen and James at their like reconciliation brunch or whatever. Kristen like walks in and like she's doing her like, she's acting. She like messes up her hair and like puts her head in her hands and is like, what's up? Or how are you doing?
She goes, how are you?
Super quietly.
How are you? She's whispering for the whole first half
of the scene. I know, literally. And the waitress comes up and this is when Kristen, I guess, as I text you because I was so confused, maybe it was a joke, but Kristen orders a tequila and then it's like, and a mimosa.
Yeah, and a coffee.
No, James orders an iced coffee and then Kristen says, I need tequila and a mimosa. But I guess maybe she was joking.
I think she was joking, but we got
no sign that it was a joke.
No, I mean, there was no like smile or laugh. If I was her waiter, I would have brought a tequila over.
Exactly.
Yeah, maybe she did have one. I don't know. I don't know why you would order a shot of alcohol when you're having a makeup brunch with your boyfriend because he got blackout drunk and you hit him. It's not the time to be drinking. It's the opposite of the time to be drinking.
It is literally, though, to her, the time to be drinking.
Anytime is the time to be drinking.
Especially if it's like a hard conversation.
She goes out to breakfast like 4 times during this episode and she gets a drink every single time.
She loves a mimosa, come to find out.
I love a mimosa too, but it's like, hey, pretty girl. They have a time and a place.
But basically, like, James apologizes because he said that he got in Kristen's face and if he hadn't done that, she wouldn't have punched him. This is where I'm like,
there had to be something that we didn't see.
Obviously, also, I believe that because it's like what Kristen said and like he's known literally to do domestic violence. But it is like just his action. He's acting so much more apologetic than, like, in my opinion, if it had been a thing where he hadn't laid any hands on her and she had just slapped him, he would be doing like fucking victory laps right now.
I know. I think so too.
And like rubbing it in her face.
Well, it's just not like him to like, quote unquote, take accountability for his actions.
No, because literally the second it happened, also, he was going around everyone being like,
she punched me.
And now he's like, Well, it's actually more complicated than that. What?
Yeah, because it's like you woke up the next morning, came out of your blackout. She told you that you pushed her into the bushes. I know. And maybe now he didn't even like
remember.
I bet he didn't. I bet like, he didn't remember later that any night. Of it.
I know. She's like, yeah, I felt threatened. That's why I did it. But she's basically just worried that their relationship is too tainted from the physical violence, which I would agree with.
Yeah, I would say it's time to call it on the relationship if you are getting worried that it's tainted from physical violence.
Yeah.
If that's a fear in your head, it's already, it's too late. It happened. Yep. It's tainted.
Yep. So I agree. But James really does not want them to break up.
No. No.
He's like, I have all these insecurities because you talk about Tom all the time. And Kristen's like, that's not fair.
She was being... It's you have to have an ounce, a droplet of self-awareness.
She literally doesn't.
But she can't.
She's like, that is just not fair. I do not talk about him 24/7. And in the talking head, she's once again back on her narrative that she's not obsessed with Tom. She's obsessed with proving her innocence.
She's obsessed with the truth.
Which she's obsessed with the truth.
Yeah.
Which literally no one fucking cares. It's so crazy.
It is so.
It's literally so crazy.
Crazy. Nope. Kristen, if there's one thing you should know about your friends, they do not care about the truth.
No, they've literally told you at this point, like point blank period, we don't care what happened.
So many times, multiple people, we don't care. It's so crazy.
And she starts to cry and says that she doesn't want to be with anyone else, but that they need to get their shit together before they can like quote unquote start pretending that everything is okay or whatever. She says in the talking head that before she and James dated, or like when they started dating, she told him like, this is who I am and like, this is what I have to give. So he doesn't need to be okay with dating her if it's too hard. But it's just so funny.
It's so funny.
That what she means is literally she's Tom. Saying like, literally when we started dating, I was like, look, I'm in love with my ex and I'm going to be talking about it a lot, bitch. And it's like, oh my God, Kristen.
Like, yeah, literally being like, he knew about my obsession with Tom Sandoval when we started dating. I never said it was going to go away.
I mean, he did. That's literally one of the things they bonded over at the beginning of their relationship.
Of course.
That's one of the times we have seen them have fun is when they're like screaming at Sheena about the fact that like Tom fucked that girl in Miami.
Yeah, literally. That's the only time they have fun. Or when they first got together and they were fucking in Tom's bed. And Kristen liked that because it was Tom's bed.
I know.
And James liked it because it was Tom's bed too, because he was like a senior bartender and James was a busser. And now they're locked in, unfortunately.
And then they just like basically like reconcile. James in the talking head says, I guess you could say the night got crazy, but love is crazy. Literally, he's always like, our love goes crazy.
Our love
like,
goes crazy. Me and my girl, our love goes crazy. Ew, God.
Ew, I hate him so fucking much.
Yeah.
And he is just here now forever.
He's here forever. He's here forever. He's here until the end of the show. Okay, now we're at the restaurant that's right next door to Sir, I guess. We're having a friend's brunch. It's Tom, Ariana, it's Tom Sandoval, Ariana, Tom Schwartz, Katie, and Jax, which is like really OG crew if you swap out Ariana and Stassi. Oh, and Kristen is not there. Yeah. Duh. But it felt so like...
Yeah, we don't like see much of that anymore.
Yeah.
Of like the three boys with the girls, because the girls are not friends anymore.
I guess it's the core boys.
Yeah.
And with their girls.
With their girls.
Yeah, girls. They all order jalapeno margaritas, obviously going into work in about 45 minutes to have to get a quick drink in before. They are asking Katie about the ring on the string. And Tom Schwartz is like being jovial with the group, being like, oh my God, guys, I actually remembered right after I gave it to her that she had explicitly said never to give her a ring on a necklace. Fuck you.
Literally laughing. Like, laughing. Hee-haw. And like low-key, they're like telling it like a funny story together.
Yeah,
and, like,
I know. I know.
It's actually been like so painful to watch Katie.
I know. Because even in the talking head, Ariana is like, that was disrespectful of him.
It was.
Because it was. Because it really was. And Katie and Ariana are like not that close of friends. It's just so obvious how awful he is to her.
Oh my God.
She said, don't get me a ring on a necklace. And explicitly.
Literally. And you got her a ring on a fucking necklace.
That's so specific. I would never think to say to my boyfriend, don't get me a ring on a necklace unless I fucking hated a ring on a necklace.
And then that's the present
he got for her. He had to have.
He did do it intentionally.
He quote unquote forgot and then remembered right as soon as he gave it to her. At Sheena's wedding.
It's like, no, you did do that on purpose.
Yeah. Yeah. It was malicious.
He literally like loves to see her humiliated. It's like,
I know.
Actually so fucking insane.
It's so awful. It's he likes to fucking kick her when she's down.
Yes.
They start to talk about marriage. He has now sort of changed his tune as to why he's not ready for marriage. And now it's because he needs to be fully financially secure in order to get married.
He needs to see a specific number, but he won't specify.
He won't say what that number is. In the talking head, Katie is like, okay, so I really don't know what that means to him. Like, I don't know if he means like $1 million a year or like $500,000 a year. Like, I don't know how much money he feels like he needs to have.
A world that like Tom Schwartz could somehow make like 500K a year.
He at one point probably did from the show, but it's like,
no, yeah, like maybe like 2 or 3 years he did that.
Yeah.
There's no way he could sustainably make $500,000 a year.
No. Also, he doesn't have any income other than the show.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. It's like, just like so crazy to be saying that.
You don't have like a job.
Well, he knows what he's saying. It's so he can push the wedding for as like literally as long as possible.
It's just so stupid because he's literally acting like it's having kids. Like, yes. It's like you, it, as Jax literally is like broke people get married. And it is like, yeah, it actually doesn't work like, you don't actually need to have any amount of money to be married.
No, it's like if he's nervous about the cost of a wedding, it's obviously not that, because literally a second later, he says that his vision of a wedding is a ring on a string and a dog as a ring bearer or something. So it's like, you don't even want to spend money on the wedding. So it's not the financial thing.
He just doesn't want to get married or be married to Katie.
So after we've kind of put a fucking bow on the wedding conversation, after Katie has been sufficiently humiliated.
Thank God.
Jax begins to tell him about how he was like out the other night, and then he got a text from Carmen telling him to meet her for dinner or drinks or something. And he shows up and it's Carmen, Kristen, and Rachel. And when he gets there, Kristen starts screaming at him at the bar, being like, how the fuck are you friends with Sandoval?
Well, sorry.
Why do you protect him? Blah, 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 blah. Like screaming, yelling, ranting, and raving.
It's just like so funny to like show up to that location as Jax, because like, yeah, Rachel and Kristen really have it out for him right now.
Uh-huh.
And so like, yep, literally walking into the lion's den.
Well, it's just so funny. I love that Carmen tricked him.
I know.
It's awesome.
I know.
Because obviously, if I were Carmen, I would also be tricking him all the time as well after the shit he pulled at the wedding, trying to force me to kiss him.
Of course.
It's like, yeah, I am going to push you into the lion's den.
Yes.
I am going to let you get chewed up and spit out.
Well, she probably also like told him who she was with. Like,
yeah. Well, he just, I mean, he's like love blind for Carmen. He's like obsessed with her right now also. So
yeah.
And he loves drama. So
he loves drama.
Probably would have showed up no matter what. Jax says it's really hard to be friends with Kristen and Tom right now because Kristen has nothing to lose.
They literally are like fucking, they are being so fucking brutal to her this whole episode.
Kristen has nothing to lose. She's like a kamikaze pilot. And then somebody else at brunch asked about how they heard a rumor that Kristen got in a fight with a stripper. And then Jax is like, oh my God, I know about that.
This is so crazy. And I like really want to know what actually happened.
I know, because it's certainly not this, which is Jax says that Kristen and Rachel and Carmen were out and they started.
They had a girls' night out.
They were beefing with the stripper somewhere. I don't know.
Like, wait, obviously I'm assuming it's a woman stripper.
Yeah, I think so. Otherwise.
Because she like.
Because. Of the Rachel situation. Yeah. So they were like fighting with presumably a female stripper in some kind of establishment. I literally don't know where they were. And then
it must have been a strip club.
Yeah, I guess. Or like a club with like go-go Jumbos. Dancers. Oh, I love Jumbos. But that's a strip club. And then they go outside and Kristen is like talking shit on the stripper really loud and a bunch.
I really want to know what actually happened.
And then the stripper comes out and thinks that it's Rachel talking shit about her and clocks Rachel in the face, punches her, knocks her out cold.
Like that.
That didn't happen.
That can't be true.
So
that can't be true.
I've seen Rachel recently and we're about to see her in another scene and there's like no sign of a bruise or whatever. So there's no way she got fully punched in the face, knocked out cold.
What?
But then it's just kind of like an example to show how Kristen is spiraling and like losing it right now. And they're all like, okay, she literally needs help. That bitch is insane.
Okay, can someone fucking help her then?
Can someone help her? It doesn't have to be Ariana. It doesn't have to be Katie or Tom. It should be Jax. It should be Jax.
But he can't.
But he can't and he won't. And then brunch is over and they all go to Sir and they get changed into their Sir outfits and do their makeups in the bathrooms.
Yes.
And then it's time for work.
Yes, it's the beginning of the shift. And everyone is working around the bar, like Peter, Tom, Ariana, etc. And Sheena comes up and is like, I'm back from Hawaii.
Whee!
She had a perfect honeymoon. They ziplined and they went on a helicopter and a bunch of fun stuff. And then James walks up and he pulls her for a chat. And Jax is like, I feel bad for him. They walk away.
I feel bad for that dude.
Don't really know why. Just because he has to talk to a woman.
Well, and everybody's feeling bad for him right now.
Because of Kristen. And so Sheena explains to James that her biggest fear was Kristen making the wedding about herself, which she did, which she didn't do, obviously. But I do like understand Sheena's anger, obviously, way more than everyone else, because it was like, it was a lot for Sheena to even go as far as to invite Kristen at the wedding. So it's like, damn, man, you did punch your boyfriend.
She did already like, really not want to invite her.
Yeah, like I do understand that a lot more than everyone else who's like, act. It's like she didn't make a scene, but and later, like, they'll fight and it is like, Kristen, Sheena has been extraordinarily kind to you.
Really, really generous like, with her really, chances really with nice you.
With you, and you are being so crazy, but whatever. And then this is when James is like, it wasn't only her fault, like I was like getting in her face, provoked her, whatever.
Yeah.
And Sheena is like, why are you sticking up for a woman who punched you in the face and then left with someone else?
Yeah, I mean, she did do that, but also you pushed her. You pushed her.
And once and you again, were screaming I'm like, at her I still all up maintain, in her face. I do think he pushed her, but even if he didn't, I'm like, yeah.
Yeah. His actions were atrocious regardless.
Yeah, like really threatening and scary either way. So James is like, I don't need this shit. Like, this is embarrassing and I don't want high school drama. I left high school 3 years ago.
3 years ago. 3 years ago. But also, like, you were 19 when you graduated high school?
Probably.
Took him a while.
But 3 years, I am like, can you imagine 3 years after you graduate high school, you're on Vanderpump Rules?
No, I can't imagine that for the fucking life of me. I mean, I would have killed for that, but
it would be horrifying.
It'd be awful to have my behavior at that time aired out on TV. Literally. No, thank you. No, thank
you. It would
be
so fucking embarrassing.
It'd be so humiliating. It's already humiliating that people knew me at that time.
I know.
And I went to a really small school.
I know.
It's like not even that many people.
I literally can't believe it. That's how I feel about the fact that I was like on Twitter. It's like, oh yeah. My God. Like literally, can someone delete all of that? But basically they hug and everything is forgiven.
Yeah.
Okay. And then we're at the bar with Jackson Peter. Lisa comes up and asks for help from them during the event that she's going to host, which is, of course, Lucky Puppy.
Lucky Puppy.
Which is an adoption and event that she's hosting with her friend, Lance. Parentheses Bass.
Yeah.
And
she goes, you know my friend Lance.
You guys know my friend Lance. Yep. They do. He's there all the time.
Yes, he loves her.
And she's like, wait, Peter, like, don't you want a dog? And he's like, yeah, I think it'll be good to go and look. And then Jack's like, oh, wait, that's actually an awesome idea. Like, I could really use a dog right now. And she's like, no.
No.
You couldn't use a dog. Literally talking about it like it's like a broom.
Yes, literally.
She's like, it's not something you use. It's something you take care of.
She goes, you are not going to have a dog.
No. And he's like, we'll talk about it, but yes, I am. He's like, we will talk, but I will be getting a dog.
You can say I can't have a dog, but I will be getting a dog at the Lucky Puppy adoption event.
And it's like, Lisa, you know that the opposite thing to do in this scenario is to tell him that he can't have a dog because he has like defiant order.
Yes,
disorder.
Exactly.
So it's like, okay, that's going to make him obviously want a dog even more.
It's so funny that he wants a dog, though. He does want a dog as a prop to get girls. Duh.
Literally, he could use a dog.
Oh, I could really use a dog right now.
No, literally.
Game's kind of slow.
He wants a dog for girls and because people think he shouldn't have one.
Yes, exactly that.
They obviously end up talking about Kristen and James. And Jax reveals that Kristen has been asking him to hang out every day to talk about Tom because she's obsessed not with Tom but with the truth.
It's so funny to have Kristen blowing up your phone every single day and you're like, ugh.
I know.
I wish I had Kristen doing his phone
like
number.
Dodging her.
I know. It's
like, but he tells that to Lisa and he's like, well, you know Kristen like I know Kristen. And she's like, no, I don't know Kristen like you. And she says, you know her inside and out.
Stop. He even grimaces at that.
It was really gross. I didn't like when she said that at
me
all.
Me neither.
She gives him the advice to be honest, but also practice diplomacy.
Yeah. This scene just reminded me that they are actual real people and these things actually did happen because it just made me so laugh so much and be like, honestly, even a little bit freaked out to think about like, Kristen actually was sitting alone in her apartment texting Jax over and over again being like, we have to get dinner. I need to talk to you. I have to talk to you about Tom. Please answer my texts. And it's
like, because she also doesn't work at Sir. So like literally she can't confront him.
I know. It just was so funny. It's like she really did that. She really, really did that.
Yeah. And he's like legitimately scared.
I know.
Because he knows that he can't keep a secret.
He should be scared. It is funny to see him scared like that, though. He's like, I don't know what to do. If I get dinner with her, I'm going to tell her everything.
It's just so crazy how he acts so out of control
of his own behavior. Actions.
Yeah. It's like, what do you mean? Like, you don't have to tell her the truth.
Well, it's just interesting that I know. It's just interesting that like he just does know what he's doing is wrong.
Yeah.
He does.
Yeah.
And he acts like he doesn't want to do it, but he just can't help it. And it's like, you can help it.
I know.
You're not trying.
I know.
Just keep your fucking mouth shut. Just get up and leave the table, but whatever.
It's so crazy.
Wow. Okay. Kristen and Stassi are getting brunch. Something we never thought we would see ever again.
Never ever.
Because they're not friends.
Stassi's acting like she misses her, though.
I know. I think she probably does. I mean, Stassi doesn't have any friends at all. And Stassi loves a crazy drama moment like this if it doesn't involve her.
Yeah.
So I think she's happy to be included. Yeah. But we open the scene with Kristen being kind to the wait staff again, which I love, but also doing her favorite thing where she's like, what do you have on the menu that's literally vegetarian?
I wrote that down. She's always asking for a vegetarian recommendation. And it's like, I
know. Read the menu.
It just is like so funny. Going to places where it's like so strange to ask someone for a recommendation, well, like a fast casual place being like, what do you recommend?
Also, the thing that they recommend is called literally like the San Diego Veg. And it's like, so that was written on the menu.
No, it's like they probably have two options that are vegetarian. Just choose whichever one you like more.
Yes.
She literally is just like too lazy to read the menu.
I know, but it makes me laugh because she's like literally kind about it. She's like, hi sweetie,
it's so
what do
funny.
You like here? So she orders a San Diego Veg or whatever, sits down. She also gets a mimosa.
Yep.
Stassi arrives. She doesn't know why she's there. She is not sure why Kristen has invited her to brunch, but every time they meet up, it's because Kristen has like bad news or something bad to tell her.
Like she's done something like horrifying that she needs help with.
Yes. So she's like, it must be something like that. Stassi orders, she gets a Bloody Mary. They sit down to eat and it is like awkward. It's like stilted because they literally never hang out. They're not friends.
They haven't hung out in a really long time. And like, there's clearly one reason that they're there.
Yeah. And it's like, let's just get to it. Yeah. And they do almost immediately, which is that Stassi brings up how she heard that Kristen punched James at the wedding. And Kristen is like,
we have to talk about the punch so much. It's like,
I know.
Okay. I get it. It's obviously crazy, but it is like, oh my God.
I know. Kristen explains how James was like mega wasted and cornering her. And she was like, and I just kind of like, and does like a fist punching motion. She's like, I did it.
Ugh.
I just did it. Ugh. which is like, yep. And then Kristen is like, okay, so the reason I'm meeting with you is that I just really need Jax to tell the truth about the Miami girl situation, because I just can't get him to be honest about it in front of other people, say it out loud when anyone important is around. He will only say it to me in private. He told me months ago the entire story, and now he's like doing his famous thing where I bring it up and then he says it's not true and I'm lying.
Yeah.
And Stassi is like, okay, so you really need my help. You need my help bad. You want to know how to manipulate Jax, which is like Stassi's area of expertise. Yeah. Of course.
They literally are talking like they're two detectives trying to get a criminal to confess.
Well, Stassi's plan will ultimately work out like a charm.
I know, it does work.
Stassi says that Kristen needs to have a dinner or something where Sheena is also there, because yeah, in Stassi's words, Jax and Sheena are quote unquote weird besties.
Literally.
Which they are.
They literally are. It's so strange.
So he will feel comfortable talking in front of her, but then Sheena is going to run right back to Tom and Ariana.
Because she's
them
like,
the truth.
He won't say it in front of Tom or Ariana, but he will say it in front of Sheena.
Yes. Which is like stupid of him, because it's obvious that she would go straight to Tom and Ariana, but whatever.
But I don't even know if she will.
I think like if this was any other situation.
Yeah.
And that wasn't the like piece of drama that
been
like,
like
beaten
it's
to
just
death
been
over
like,
months
it's
and months and
months. It's
just
literally too much with that. It's just too much with it.
If it was something new and interesting, she would tell
them
immediately.
Of
but
course.
This is like such a dead horse. But
I know. It's literally like a rotten corpse of a horse that Kristen is like dragging out, and it's like
no,
reeking everything.
Literally
like making
like,
everything smell so bad.
Yes,
everyone's
it's like
please stop.
The bones of a horse that she's like
literally,
snapping in half with her bare hands.
Being like, look, I'm not alive.
I know. And people are like, you're not, we don't give it's a fuck like, that you're a liar.
Again,
you're out
no
of your mind crazy.
Literally, it's like, Kristen, people don't think you're a liar. They think you're fucking insane.
Yeah. Yes.
And that is the problem.
And that's the part that she can't get through her head. And that just proves the point that she's fucking insane.
I know.
So it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy and like a snake eating its own tail and all that shit.
I know.
It's
just like so crazy. It's been literally the entire fucking season of this.
Like months and months and months, close to a year. Anyways, Kristen is like, okay, that's a good idea. I'm also going to have Rachel there because Jax has wronged Rachel in the past. So he feels like he has to be nice to her in the same way that if you were to talk to Jax, he would try and kiss your ass. And also I need an ally there. And Stassi is like, basically what you have to do is just push and push and push and push until Jax breaks, because ultimately he loves to tell on himself and he loves gossip. Yeah. And then she's like, but what I would really like for you to consider is just letting it go.
Yes.
Which is, I'm glad she said that.
Me too. I was honestly really impressed with her. Like,
me too.
I thought she was going to be a lot meaner.
Me too.
I was surprised when she didn't like harp on the punch thing more.
Yeah, me too.
And also, yeah, I was glad that she gave her this advice, even though obviously Kristen isn't going to take it, but.
I know. Stassi's like, you should consider letting it go. I think this is just going to make the whole situation like much harder on you and much harder on James as well.
I know. She's like, you already lost your job, your friend, and you're about to lose your boyfriend. And yeah. It's like,
yes. Is it worth it? Is it worth it?
It is so crazy that this actually, like, that this situation has caused her to actually lose everything.
I know.
Like, I was like, damn. Like,
she lost her job, so all her crazy. Friends, and basically her boyfriend, because she had to punch her boyfriend over it.
It's so crazy. It's like, I cannot believe you, like, it's so out of control. Like, I just, like, cannot believe that, like, literally this one thing that happened that actually does have, like, basically nothing to do with you.
Nothing to do with her whatsoever.
Has caused you to literally lose your job and all your friends.
Lose it all. She's lost it all.
Spiraling down, round down the toilet, like Peter said. It's like, oh my God, that is so crazy. And I also just, like, I wish I could see a video of her watching this season.
She didn't watch it.
That's probably for the best. Or maybe not, because it is like, girl, you literally need to take a hard, hard look in the mirror.
She didn't watch it, and then she got into therapy.
I know that part, thank God. Because it is like, oh, it's so bad what has happened. Like,
I'm sure this season ended. Well, we haven't watched the reunion yet, but like, I bet they're fucking vicious to her during the reunion. I'm sure that they're about to like tear her to shreds.
I'm sure.
And I'm sure that after the reunion, she's like taking account of her life, and it's like, I literally have nothing.
She literally has actually lost it all.
Because also, Stassi in her talking head during this scene says, Kristen has damage on her soul and she's trying to inflict that damage on others. It's like,
that's true.
Damage. It's true.
I know Stassi was spitting some facts.
Yeah, I know. But that is just cruel.
I know.
But it's true. Kristen is like, well, I'm not going to let it go. I'm going to give it one more shot. I just have to give it one more shot. And if he denies it this time, then I'll have no choice but to let it go. But
how many more shots? Because
I've said that before.
I know.
The fact that about Anne Marie,
bringing her in and like being there for that was not the last shot.
I know.
It's like, oh my God. It is just like, dude,
what do you mean?
And just like, we've said it so many times, but I'm like, what do you think is going to happen? Because like literally nothing.
Kristen, they don't care.
It's not, you can't.
You cannot win.
No one cares that you're a liar. They care that you're being fucking crazy.
You're being fucking crazy. I mean, Sheena's literally about to tell her that. I know. But it's just so.
It's so crazy.
So crazy.
So now we're at the Lucky Puppy event. Jax is holding a little puppy and Lisa's like, please, dear God, no. But the dogs are really cute. The dog with its tongue stuck out. I'm like, you know, that's my exact kind of dog.
Well, all of the dogs are like fucked up looking because they're strays from the street. Yeah, but they're so cute and they're all small.
Awesome. It's literally awesome. Lucky and puppies. Sandoval and Jax are sitting down together and Jax seems literally like, he seems like he just ended a bender or something. Like
they must have. They're both hungover, I think, because Tom is like, Jax, having a beer hair of the dog.
Jax looks super bad and he's acting really, really strangely.
Yeah, they must have gone out last night, but we didn't get to see that.
Yeah, because he literally is like, Jax is acting like he's like on his deathbed and like doing like confessions of a killer or something.
Oh God, he was making me laugh during this
I know.
I'm sorry, but he is the one who makes me laugh the most during the show.
Same.
Just because he acts so erratically.
Of course, no, same. And his rants are literally so funny.
He's
but
both like so predictable and so erratic.
No, I know. He makes me laugh the most too because it is just like unexpected what he does. But Jax basically says like, I'm really struggling because Kristen is like blowing up my phone. Do I just ignore her? And it's like, this is the thing where it's like, why can't you just hang out with her and keep lying?
And keep
like,
I know.
Either you have to piss off Kristen or you have to piss off Tom. And in my opinion, it's way, way worse for him to piss off Tom.
Well, of course, because Tom can ice you out of the entire friend group if he wants.
Yes. And like blow your shit up.
And blow your shit up. And Kristen can't do that. She has no leverage in the group. Tom is much more powerful.
I know. She
in
has
his
literally
social
no social power. And like Tom is your better friend than Kristen.
Yes.
But Sandoval is just like, look, I know like how you are when it comes to like gossiping like that. Because like obviously Sandoval has to maintain that Jax is like making this shit up, which he's not.
Yes.
But
he
like
says outlandish at some point during
yeah his... he's like these outlandish tales that Jax tells and yeah. he's like, but when it comes to my business, I would really appreciate if you didn't talk to Kristen about it.
Yeah,
because you are just like feeding into her obsession. Yes. And they literally are talking about her like she's schizophrenic.
Yes, I know.
And it, well, it's she like, is you obsessive. Are feeding into her delusion.
Yeah, he is. I mean, he is. And 100%
the delusion obviously isn't that Tom cheated, but the delusion is that somehow she's gonna get like redeemed.
Yes.
There's no redemption for her.
Like, no, because everybody knows that he fucked that girl in Miami and no one gives a fuck.
No one gives a fuck.
Yeah.
Jax is like, I was feeding into that.
Wait, I read it. He said, I was instigating. I was talking about it. I don't even talk about it. God, I don't even talk about that. Tom, I don't even talk about that. Yes, you do.
Yeah, you do. She's like, he's told me multiple times. She's not lying. Like
clips of you on camera literally. Talking about it.
What? Yeah, he like literally just repeating like, I don't talk about that. I don't talk about that. And he looks really bad. Like he literally like looks so bad. Like there is something so wrong with him in the scene. He's I don't know. Like
I know.
He looks like sick.
He is sick.
And his head is in his hands and he's like
mumbling and like repeating so himself. Strange. I think he's just like extremely hungover.
I know, and literally feels like suicidal or something. Like he really is down like astronomically bad right now.
Yeah.
Sandoval is like, okay, like, I know that Jax doesn't talk about this anymore, but I know that he did in the past, which is why she won't let it go.
Yes.
And this is another, I wrote down his full quote where he goes, we do not talk about it at all. I don't understand. The only time that she'll say, Jax, what happened there? That's the only time she will say, the only time that we would bring it up or we would talk about it. There's no other time. What? Okay. What?
So the only time we would talk about it is when she asked me what happened there.
And she asks you every day.
And you answer with your chest.
Like, yeah, it's like she's doing that every day. She's asking you all the time to confess it's that. Like,
literally probably what she texted you 15 minutes literally. Ago. What happened in Miami?
We don't talk about that. You do talk about it all the time.
We don't talk about that. We only talk about that when she will only bring it up when she asked me exactly what happened.
That's literally every fucking day. And Sandoval is just like, okay, so like Schwartz and I do feel pretty betrayed by you just as a reminder. Like, we do feel like you've like dragged us through the mud and like I'm not going to confront you. If I'm not going to confront you, you know fucking Schwartz's dumbass is not going to confront you about it.
He was like, you know, I'm not confrontational and you know Tom Schwartz is even less confrontational than me. And he had to have a confrontation with
literally.
You. So you know that's how bad it is.
Literally. And he's just like trying to kind of get in his head like, protect the trio
literally
which, like, cannot lodge itself in there.
It's just the same conversation that they had in Miami.
Yeah, exactly. But Jax is in like a weirder place.
Yep.
And yeah, he's just like sitting there taking it and like has his head in his hands. And then Tom basically is like, if you want to have like, and this is actually really fucking true what he says, because it's literally what's it happen to Jax right now.
I don't know if anybody will say this to him again.
No, he says like, if you want to have like lifelong friends and like real friends in your life, like you have to have like trust with those people and respect with those people. Obviously, it's not awesome because the trust that he's talking about is like trusting that you can keep our vile secrets.
Yes.
But he's like, what's going to happen if you keep doing this is that you're going to look around and you only have friends that you like party with or whatever. Like you don't have any real friends.
You don't have any substantial substantial relationships.
Which is true. It's like literally what has happened to him. He's not, I mean, Schwartz, I guess, is still his friend because Schwartz is like
Fucking spineless. Literally, and that's
like,
why.
Just like
you
an
can't
animal.
Count
but
that as a substantial friendship. No. Like but a fulfilling like, relationship.
He and Tom aren't friends anymore.
No. He isn't friends with any, he's not even friends with Sheena.
No. And then like that's basically the scene. We get a quick shot of Jax like doing this like really funny bit where he's pretending that he can't put Shay's wedding ring on because it's like literally repellent from his finger and it's like he's doing it for a really long time and everyone is
so
like getting really bored by it. And like Sheena's obviously offended.
Yep, Sheena is like pissed off. He's being like, ow!
He's like, I can't get it off. And everyone's like, okay. And in the talking head, he says that marriage in LA is just unrealistic because there's too many temptations.
Yeah.
Show me a hot girl and I'll show you a guy who's tired of banging her.
Bruh. Ew.
What are you talking about?
What do you mean?
Acting like no one in LA can get married
a
or
lot
not
of,
cheat.
A it's lot like, of people
there's a
don't
bunch
cheat
of normal
get...
fucking people in LA.
Dude, it's so crazy the
people
way they
raise
talk
their
about
families
LA.
There. I know, literally, they're like, it's a wild fucking west out here.
There's like, a relax. Lot of really regular, normal people who live in Los
like,
Angeles.
Literally, a bunch of them.
There's families. There's bunch solo families. People. Like, I just the way they talk about it is like as if there's not a regular working class community that exists in Los Angeles and has
I
been
know.
There since the beginning of
that it's
the
literally
city.
Just like horny money hungry mactors.
I know, and it's like No, the city would not exist if that was the case. It would have like burnt to the ground.
I know.
But
it's so stupid.
Sorry for saying that. It did. It literally did catch on fire. Sorry. I didn't mean it like that. Obviously. Misspoke.
My bad.
Well, it would have been ripped to the ground by acrylic nails.
Yes.
There we go. That's better. We're at Stassi's apartment, and Stassi is helping Christina Kelly pick out a dress for an event, and Stassi pulls out all of her dresses that she doesn't wear anymore because she used to be skinnier, and Christina Kelly is like, these are going to be too big on me. Ha ha. Just like, okay, bitch.
Hey, whoa there.
Jesus.
Relax, you fucking cunt. Yeah. What the fuck?
You are her only friend right now, so let's take a chill pill. And then Stassi is like, I used to be way skinnier when I worked at Sir, but I think it was from all the chain smoking and the sobbing in the back. And I was like, and the cocaine. Yep.
Yes.
But whatever. Stassi fills Christina Kelly in on her breakfast with Kristen. And Christina Kelly is like, Kristen shouldn't care anymore. She should just be happy that she doesn't have to live that life. And it's like, don't you know that life is the only thing she wants in this entire world?
I know.
She's devastated. She doesn't live that life.
She is absolutely devastated.
Stassi's like, it's really sad because Kristen's still so in love with Tom. But she just needs to realize that she's literally never going to get closure on this situation, which is entirely true.
It's
she
so
never
true.
Will.
And she did get it. He literally
it.
Had that
she
heart
got
to heart with her where they're fucking sobbed. It's like,
well, that's the thing.
He gave you literally the quote unquote closure that you want.
That's the thing about closure that happens with people in relationships literally all of the time.
Of
it's
course.
Like you have closure. The relationship
is over.
It's just not the outcome that you were looking for. So you're like thinking that if you try again, you'll get a different kind of closure. And it's like the book's closed.
And it's just, yeah, it's just the fact that like the ending of a relationship is like literally horrible and painful. And
yeah.
That's just what it is.
It's just not going to turn out. You're not going to ever feel good about it.
No.
So
except after a really long time. That's the closure.
Yeah,
is like time and distance, not like rehashing it all over and over and over
again. No, because there's never going to be a different outcome in the way you want it to. Stassi tells Christina that Lisa emailed her and asked her to style the yearly photo shoot that Sir has. The yearly Sir photo shoot.
Our favorite event.
Literally our favorite event of the entire year.
That's my Met Gala.
And Stassi declined the offer. And Christina Kelly is like, why would you do that? You should definitely style it. And Stassi's like, style literally all of my enemies. Everybody there hates me so bad.
I know, it is so funny.
And Christina Kelly is like, well, you could fuck with them all. Like, that could be really, really funny. Like, you could put Sheena in an outfit that's way too small for her so she feels extremely insecure all day. And I was like, you are on bitch mode, Christina.
That's fucking so demented.
That's
it's so,
so
fucking
awful.
Evil.
And Stassi's like, no.
I actually don't want to do that.
No, that's a little bit too much even for me. And in this moment, I was like, okay, see why you were the queen bee, Christina. Because you have wicked thoughts. You have an evil mind.
Truly evil intentions.
Yeah. But that's that scene.
Yeah. Then we're out. This is the...
We're at Franco.
The moment. We're at Franco with Rachel, Kristen, Sheena, Shay, and Jax. My first note is just that, oh my God, I'm so fucking tired of this. It is like,
I know.
I love you, Kristen, obviously, but I'm so tired of this shit. Holy fucking shit. And these people have to live it.
I know. Can you imagine? It's like, I have to watch an hour of it once a week by choice. This is their life.
It's
they're getting texts
life.
About it every single day for months.
I know. Kristen says in the talking head, if Jax would just come out to our group and admit that I'm not a fucking liar, I think that would really put me in a different light. It literally wouldn't. Like, I can't say it again.
Well,
it's
the thing about it
too.
You're a liar. The thing about it too is that, like, I don't know. We've said it a million times. Kristen, nobody cares that you're a liar. You know who is a huge fat fucking liar? Jax.
Literally.
His word endorsing your story
means nothing.
Nothing at all.
So Jax says he's there because if he doesn't give in to Kristen, she will relentlessly pursue him and make his life a living hell, basically, which is literally true. It's what's happening to him right now.
Yep.
And Sheena's looking forward to this evening because she feels like Kristen should apologize to her. And she's hoping that's why they're all getting together.
Sheena,
which is so fucking funny.
You idiot.
Sheena, you fucking idiot.
In what world would that ever be the case?
The thought that
Sheena, you know Kristen who's at the dinner.
Thinks she owes you an apology.
No, girl.
She didn't think she owed you an apology. She didn't think she owed like anyone an apology when she like called the manager a fucking bitch in front of everyone. You think
told
she
told her to suck a dick and wouldn't leave the restaurant.
She will think that she owes you an apology for literally not making a scene at your wedding.
Yeah, no. She feels that you owe her an apology for assuming that she would make a scene at the wedding is the thing.
So
also, Sheena, this dinner is you.
Literally.
Kristen, Jax.
And Rachel.
Rachel and your husband. You think that's the crew she would assemble to apologize to you?
No. Idiot. It's like, okay, whatever. And so Sheena's like, okay, Kristen, like, what do you want to talk about?
Kristen is, while she's saying that, Kristen is chugging her wine.
Yep.
big, big gulps out of her Savvy B.
Kristen is like, I'm sick of being called a liar. No one is calling you a liar. Like, we actually haven't even seen anyone.
Nobody's called you a liar. Nobody's called you a liar.
Especially because like what Tom is saying is like, Jax is a liar and lied to Kristen.
Yes, exactly.
Like,
that.
They're not even saying like Kristen made this up. They're literally just being like, well, you got bad information from Jax.
You got bad information and you're spreading it around. Like, stop doing that. Like, but nobody's literally like, you made it up. It's so
like,
funny.
Like, we actually haven't seen anyone call her a liar, but
no,
whatever. She's like, I'm tired of being called a liar and that I'm trying to ruin Tom's relationship when I'm not. I don't know. She's saying this shit that doesn't make sense. She said, I feel like I'm still paying the price of having fucked Jax when like Tom also did it. Sandoval also did it. And like Schwartz like fucks around behind Katie's back. And I'm just like the only one that's like still in trouble for that.
Yeah, she says, I'm still paying for the mistake I made 2 years ago with this one, points at Jax, because he decided to be honest. Schwartz fucked around on Katie. Katie fucked around on Schwartz. Sandoval fucked around on Ariana. Ariana fucked my ex-boyfriend behind my back, but I'm the one paying for it. You're not paying for any of that.
Yes.
All of those facts are 100% true, I believe. They all fuck around on each other all the time.
Yes.
But you're not paying for it. That's not what this is.
Yes. And I'll say this, like, that was her original crime that got her outed from the group. So I understand what she's saying. First of all, like, I also understand that, like, literally having to deal with the misogyny of this group day in and day out would actually make you go insane.
Yeah, of
like
course.
Having to live through that. So I understand, like, oh, I understand. But it is like, you certainly by now could have worked your way back into people's good graces if you just hadn't.
That was my note.
This was not what was going on.
If you had just been a little bit more chill, you would be back in the friend group like that.
I know.
They are very much like, pretend it didn't happen and we'll move on from
literally.
It. But she can't let it go.
I know.
She just can't let it go.
After she does her rant like that about that, it's like literally silent.
Yeah.
And Gina is like, okay.
They're just staring at her.
Yes. In the talking head, Gina says, Kristen, people don't think you're crazy because you may or may not have told the truth about something Jax told you once. It's because you slept with your ex-boyfriend's best friend, got your friend punched in the face by a stripper, had some girl fly across the country to confront Sandoval, yelled at Lisa, got fired, and punched your boyfriend at a wedding.
Yeah,
and it is true.
Unfortunately, yeah.
It is true.
Yes.
That is true. It is true.
I understand why in her kind of like deluded brain, she thinks that
it's all like related.
All of those things are related to the fact that she's trying to do this investigation upon Tom's cheating. But it's like,
I'm opening an, that, she's literally like, I'm launching an independent investigation.
I know. It's like that undercurrent is not important to anyone.
I know.
It's actually just the tangible material things that you have done.
I know. She is just like really, really not doing well, obviously.
No, she's floundering. She's like barely keeping her head above water.
I know. It does suck because like after that relationship, Tom is doing so much better mentally and she is doing so much worse mentally. Like,
I know.
He's so
happy. He is so
happy. And she is like sicker than she's ever been.
He's on vacation every time he looks in Ariana's eyes.
I know.
And she is drowning.
I mean, she is like to leave a toxic relationship, but then still live in the toxic relationship in your head.
I know.
And also be in another toxic relationship with someone at the same time. It's just a lot.
Well,
it's a lot.
It's just like Tom Sandoval is still right there in front of her all the time. I guess she doesn't work there anymore, so.
But she can't let it go. And Rachel tells Jax that he needs to tell the truth. And Jax is like, why can't Sandoval tell the truth?
I know. Why do I have to be the one who does it?
He basically finally says the truth in front of Sheena.
Yeah, he's Jax like, cracks.
This is what Jax cracks. Jax's cracks is. he's like, this is what happened. That girl was with Tom in the room having sex. Do I think it happened? 100%. Kristen literally beaming.
Kristen's
it
so
cuts to her
happy.
Literally.
Yeah.
Huge smile plastered on her fucking face.
Yep.
And in the talking head, she's like, victory is mine.
Victory is mine. Victory is mine.
Girl.
Oh my God.
Like, it's just not. You're so deluded.
You're out of your mind. You've said this to Sheena before and she didn't give a fuck.
I know.
And also Jax has on multiple occasions in front of all of them been like, hey Tom, by the way, I'm not going to say what happened in Miami unless you push it. So it's like,
no, literally.
He wasn't being explicit about it before, but he was being implicit about it. And now literally. He's being explicit. It's like the same thing. They all already
know,
Kristen.
I know. And Kristen maintains that she just doesn't want to be called a liar. Sheena's like, I've never called you a liar. And she's like, well, they do.
Yeah.
Tom and Ariana do.
But then Sheena's like, okay, well, he calls you a whore too. So he's always going to talk shit about you. You don't need to believe all that stuff. Let's just let it go. Which is a crazy comeback.
It is a crazy
it sucks
comeback.
To be like,
well, he calls me a liar. Well, he calls you a fucking whore too. So who the fuck cares what he says?
Yeah, it's literally. Like, But it is like
she has a point.
I know. Well, it is like, how else are you supposed to get through to her?
I know. I don't know. I actually don't know.
I don't know. I don't know.
I don't know. And in the talking head, Sheena's like, Kristen is not doing what she thinks she is, like, because Ariana just, like, doesn't fucking care. Like, all she's doing is driving a wedge between Sandoval and Jax. It's very true. Like,
yeah. Well, she was like, if her goal is to not look crazy, she's fucking failing.
Oh, of 100%.
Which is so sad, because it's like, that is her goal, to not look crazy.
I know.
And she looks insane.
I actually can't believe that's her goal.
I know. Yeah,
it's literally insane that she's
like,
her goal.
They're gonna see. They're all gonna see. And it's like, oh my god, they are seeing. And it's bad. They're seeing more than ever.
They're seeing it so clearly. Kristen is like, Rachel is the only one that's like had my back all summer, which obviously Sheena takes issue with, because Sheena has had her back.
I know, a lot.
Like, to an extent that I don't even fucking understand.
Yeah, me neither. It goes to show that there is like a pure of heart component to Sheena, because she could have dropped Kristen, because Kristen is no ally to her at this point and provides her no social power whatsoever.
No.
She's actually dragging her down.
Literally. It's so crazy. And Kristen's like, okay, do you believe this? And Sheena's like, I don't know. Sheena's already said it to Kristen. So it is like, I don't know how many more times she can say it, which is that like, Sheena's like, the truth doesn't matter to her at this point, because it's all been conveyed to Ariana, and Ariana doesn't care. So like,
yeah, she's like, all I care about is my friends being happy, and they're happy.
Yes. And so, like, Kristen's goal of having Sheena go and have a conversation with Ariana, like, Sheena already did that. We literally saw her down and like try to say like, it seems like there's some like validity to this, whatever, like, and she doesn't care. And so Sheena's like, I'm not gonna bring it up again. Look like fucking you.
Yeah, no chance. No. Also, like, you just brought the girl in. And Ariana didn't care. Why do you think she's going to care now that Jax has said something?
I know. She's not. It literally is like, the girl said it herself to Ariana.
The girl came to Sir from Miami to yell at them, and she still didn't care.
I know. She high-fived Tom in front of her fucking face and like kissed him on the goddamn lips.
I know.
Happier than fucking ever. But they just like try to convince Sheena by saying like, you know, Anne-Marie knew about Tom's penis.
I know. Well, Jax, I was like, Jax, shut the fuck up. He was like, and Kristen, didn't she have like really specific details that like only you and like Tom and like her would know? And it's like, Jax, just shut the fuck up. Just shut it.
In the talking head, she says, Anne-Marie had specific details, not only about my relationship, but also what my ex-boyfriend's penis looks like. Saying that like fully in earnest with a straight face. It's like,
I know.
Literally, she's off the deep end.
Well, and she's like telling Sheena, she's like, they had some kind of like, packed, like, I go down on it, she went down on him, and then he went down on her, and it's like,
no, she says like he went down on her and she didn't even give him a blowjob.
Oh yeah.
And Rachel's like, that's disgusting. I'm like, that's like the least disgusting thing I've ever heard. That's from like, this show,
the only not disgusting thing he's done is like not force a girl to give him a blowjob.
No, literally.
And but it's like, why do you think that's gonna convince Sheena of anything? She doesn't need to be convinced of anything. She already knows it.
I know. It's just like so crazy. And Sheena once again is like, I don't care about this. All I care about, as you said, is like Ariana and her being happy. And she's happy.
And she's happy.
Kristen says, stop it. Have my back.
I know. Stop it. Have my back.
And it's like, she really has been having your back.
She's
so
honestly having your back right now.
I know. And she's like, it just doesn't matter what I think. Like, it doesn't matter. It hasn't changed Ariana's opinion. It won't change her opinion. Kristen's like, well, it does to me. And Kristen is just like mad at Sheena. Sheena's like, it's really upsetting that you're mad at me about not having your back, because I've tried really hard to be your friend and Ariana's friend in a way that is like literally been detrimental to her.
Yes. She was like, it has been extremely hard to be both of your friends, and I've really tried. Yeah.
And then Kristen is like, well, then don't. Don't try. It's like, okay girl.
Kristen.
Okay. She's like, I'm so sorry that your best friend fucked my ex-boyfriend. This is hard for me. She's like making it about herself in the craziest way.
Well, it is also like, okay, so the truth is coming out. You ultimately, all that it is about is Ariana and Tom.
I know. She literally can't.
She can't help herself.
She can't help herself from like showing her cards at the end of the day. It's so true for her to like, I know.
To bring it all back to that. For she's that to be your home run argument.
At her most like emotional point, that is like what she's like harping on, is the fact that like Ariana fucked Tom and that it's been like really difficult for her.
And that they're like happy together.
Yeah. Kristen says that she tried really hard basically to be like really kind to Ariana.
That
And that, quote unquote, the bitch is fucking lucky, so fucking cut me a break.
The bitch is lucky. I've been really fucking cool, so cut me a break. Kristen.
No. No.
No.
Really cool?
No.
Really cool is crazy.
Really cool is crazy. And I know that you're out of your mind right now, but I know you know that's not true. That is
once again,
not
literally
true.
Threatening her with knives.
If you believe that to be true, you need to be an institutionalized.
Well, she does need to be institutionalized. Like, this episode is like, you need to go to the hospital.
She does. She really, really does. She needs to check herself into inpatient or at least extensive outpatient.
I know. And Sheena is just like staring at her. Like, Sheena just literally is like, I don't know. Like, Sheena's just like,
well, what can you do for your friend who's lost her mind?
What can you do?
I don't know.
And that is like literally the episode. It's so crazy. I don't know. It's just like, oh my God, she is going to get her fucking shit rocked at the reunion. You're so right.
I know, dude.
They're going to be so fucking mean to her.
They're
going to
be so mean to her. Because
now she doesn't even have Sheena as an ally.
No, she has no one. She literally has no one except for James. And they're and they all feel bad for James.
Yeah, he probably won't defend her too much.
Well, they're going to use James as a pawn to be like, James, you have to get out of this relationship because like you're defending her. It's clear that you literally are getting like Stockholm syndromed. Like,
no,
she's
literally
an evil bitch and she deserves to die and you need to be free, you young, young spirit.
I know.
I'm nervous for her.
I'm scared.
I'm like
for
literally
her
on edge for her.
I know. Well, her life is like actually in a downward spiral.
I know. But she's like hurtling towards the ground though at like exponential speeds.
Yeah, the plane has dropped from the...
It's out of the jello.
It's out of the jello and we're just kind of hurtling towards the ground. So. Yeah. But yeah, do you have a hero and a villain? I don't really know.
I don't really know either. Like, well, my villain has consistently been Tom Schwartz.
Yeah.
Just because of his nonchalant assholeness.
Yeah. I don't have a
hero, yeah. I guess. Maybe Stassi, honestly, for trying to talk some sense into Kristen.
Yeah, she was being like
looking
pretty
out for
reasonable.
Her.
Yeah, that's like the closest we have to a hero in this episode, I would say.
But that's kind of it. They're all kind of at low points right now. Like,
they literally
things
are
out of control.
I know. Everyone's
like,
life
really
is
lost
like,
the reins.
I know. Oh my God. Like, Katie, it's like so fucked up. And Stassi like actually has no friends.
I know. And Christina Kelly is getting like more vicious by the day. And Jax is like drinking himself to death. And Tom Schwartz is just such a dick. And Katie is so sad. And Tom Sandoval is like scared that Jax is going to like stab him in the back around every corner.
I know.
So,
well, love you guys.
Love you guys so much. See you next week.